That power of God now works through who? Us. Us mere mortals. We would think of ourselves as nothing, but you're something. Amen. Say, I'm something. Amen. The world says you're nothing. World says you're nothing. You're just here. You're just whatever. You're just using oxygen. No, I'm something. With that of God in me, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to remain that way. We want to remain strong into hearing those things of God. Because it's only by that that we will fulfill the destiny and God's plan for us. And really, his plan for us, more than anything, I want to help him meet his plan. Not that he needs me, because he can go to somebody else. But I want to be counted as in. I want to be one of them that God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You know, we've heard many people of the past that have been phenomenal in anointings and things, and many of them will say to you, but I was not his first choice. I just feel that I was not his first choice. But God keeps going. He's got a preference, but if that person doesn't pick it up and it's taking too long, God is on a timetable, amen? He's got it all figured out. But he's already knowing the time and the frame and what needs to be accomplished. He's going to work with this for so long, and after that, he's going to say, I've got to move on. Here's another person that looks willing, and here's another one. All of a sudden, he hits that one that just sometimes is so incidental, like they're just like a fish out of water. You know, we just go, here I am, Lord. I can't offer you much, but everything that comes into me is going to be totally you, because I am nothing. Isn't that what Catherine Kuhlman had said? I am nothing. I am nothing without him. Today, I am nothing without him. He brings oxygen into my body. He makes my heart beat. He gets my mind thinking of the things of him, and to fulfill those things of him, to where what I accomplish, I want it to be accomplished for God. I want it to be accomplished for God, not Harvester's Church. There's a wonderful blessed churches out there everywhere. If it says, well, that's out of Harvester's Church, well, praise God. What church was that? You mean it was a little church out across the road from a cemetery that had cornfields all around it? The only way we could find it was that, well, was that that church that had that one tower out there that was the tallest corn stalk? That's the one. That's the one. So anyway, get ready. Be prepared. Be prepared for when that Spirit hits. And he's already hit. He's been here. He's been here in the past. He's been here in 1983, in 1985, in 86, 87. He's been here at all times. We remain faithful and obedient. When the baton I felt was passed to me from Pastor Hoblet, it was just like everything just kept going in the same. I referenced it to myself and others would be like, when I picked up, because I worked with Pastor Hoblet enough, I was in stride with him. It's like that in the military when you're in a march, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. You, when that person on the left stopped, you were still left, right, left, right, left, right. And that ministry to me, I felt, just continued on. And it's to continue marching down that path. And the steps will change. Things will develop, things will change, and things will stop, and things will be added. We as a church have done adjustments here and there in different areas. But it's to say, for a while there, you have to carry that ball to keep things cohesive for a season or two so that we just don't go crazy. And my prayers at the beginning, as they are now, has always been, Lord, protect this ministry from any outside forces that would come in to destroy it, take it off course, take it out of step with you. And Lord, protect us. Protect this body. I want any more than anything else in this world, Lord. Not that I got to ask it because he's God and all powerful, but I want him to hear me say, Lord, protect this place. This is your place. But Lord, we need you to protect the anointing. We need you to protect the spirit here that goes forth. so that craziness doesn't come in, or that the enemy doesn't send a likened spirit that kind of throws us off, thinking like, oh, we're following God, and all of a sudden it got, you know, another spirit here, and we're following this spirit. Oh yeah, God, 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 and we get down this path, and we find out it was the enemy spirit mirroring God's spirit to the point, and we were deceived. Do you think he's not trying to still deceive the churches of God? A lot of deceptions are going on out there in church land. And we've got to be ever so keen of today. Ever so keen. For the enemy is still out there wanting to destroy. A lot of those early ministries, powerful, anointed, some were destroyed. Others went on. But there's probably been a lot more destroyed than a lot went on. And so it's a very important thing to protect the anointing, to protect that what God has going on. And it's only because of unity, right? Of our unity of togetherness, of prayer, of sensing in the spirit this. And when that sense is in our spirit, that we want that to be shared. We want that to be a corporate type thing where, hey, it's good for me to know it, but if it's something, we all need to know it, or whatever the case might be, so that we're all, what? On the same page. You ever tried singing a song with everybody on five different pages? Wow. Audience out there is going, what? 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 Oh, the harmony, the perfect harmony that God puts in his body. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much, Lord, so much, so much, so much. We thank you, Lord, that you are here. You are with us and leading us, and this is your work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, very much so. Thank you, Father. There's times, Lord. See, and I think what he tells us is, if you're praying to protect this ministry, you've got to be willing to sometimes make a difficult call. And it's interesting when you visit with pastors and things, and I tell them right up, I said, well, you know, in 12 years now that I've been the pastor here, there's been two instances to where we have told two people that they needed to find another church. In the beginning, it kind of goes off base because we want to be a church of love. Remember, I start out this whole thing of compassion. But I said, as a pastor, if you sense that there's somebody coming in or something that's coming in and they're a wolf, what would a shepherd do if a wolf comes into a bunch of his sheep? Is that shepherd going to go to that wolf and say, well, I know you're a wolf and I've got love and compassion for you. Here, I'm going to teach you to be a good wolf. Sit. Don't bark. Can you go baa? You know, can I transition that wolf into a sheep? I can't. The Spirit of God can, but generally not, because they're being used by the enemy, and that wolf comes into that sheep. And actually, sometimes that wolf doesn't even really come into the center of the sheep. The wolf lays on the outside watching for the weak sheep, the sheep that get out to that fence or to that brush or by that fence line or that tree line. And he just waits for that one, goes, oh, yep, there's one. Oh, they must be disenfranchised with the church. Oh, that one there must be having some kind of ought with somebody in the fellowship or with the pastor. Pretty soon they keep leaving the fellowship and they're getting further over here by this bush. And that little sheep is over here and the rest of the body's over there. And guess what comes out of the bush? A wolf. Pounces on them. Drags them around the neck. Gets them out of the body. They get out into the world. They get disenfranchised with everything of God. They turn back on God and it's all negative. But that's the thing that we've got to be willing in our churches as pastors. You've got to, in a way, have a backbone to the point of saying, or else have people around you that are willing to say, I told this to a couple of them, said, well, if that's the way you feel, I'll do this, but you better support me. You know, you better support the decision, because it can't just be me, because this is not my church. This is everybody. Because I never want it to be like, oh, well, he's a dictator. Oh, it's his church and his way or the highway. No, it's all of us trying to work this thing together to protect the anointing of God, because it's been taken so many times away. So, anyway, that's sometimes the things that I have a little times with our pastors group, because it's interesting. Some of these pastors are like, oh, I don't know. We've got this person, this and that. There's a lot of strong pastors in town that have done the same thing. But there's others that probably go, oh, you know, we're trying to work with them and trying to do that. And it's like, well, you better be cautious. You better be ready to say, get out of here and find someplace else. And you can do that pretty well pretty quick when they come in with an agenda. But that's the keenness of the Spirit. If we ask for God, have you found this, folks, that when you pray to God to ask him for something, that he does respond and give it to you? And I've prayed some things that after he gave it to me, I asked him, why did you do that? And he said, you prayed for it. Because I've not always prayed good. You know, when I love my job and I said I'd have to hate my job to come and serve you, 5 or 6 months after that, I hated my job. I hated my job so bad that I was going crazy. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Lord, why have all of a sudden after 15, 16 years, 16 and a half years, 17 years, I love this job and now all of a sudden I hate it? He said, well, didn't you ask that I would have to hate this job to come and serve you? I said, oh yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay. You know, there's things like that that, you know, he hears our prayers and he responds. And so, you know, we've got to be sensitive to that. And then when we ask him and question him, he'll respond back to you. He does me. I'm sure I'm not just the only one. But you got to be listening and allowing it to come in. And you've got to be teachable, accountable, and mentored. I feel I'm being mentored by God. When I told Pastor Hoblett, I'm allowing you to mentor me. And if I mess up, I need you to speak into my life, and I need to listen to you and take correctiveness from you. Many times you'll hear a pastor say that. Well, many people tell me that I'm mentoring them, but they don't allow me to mentor them because once I try to correct them, they get upset and we have a fight. So I've always, in the very, very, very beginning, I said, Pastor Hoblett, you're mentoring me. Correct me when I step out. And I began to sense things in the Spirit, and I would begin to go to him and say, Pastor, I'm sensing this in the Spirit. Is it right? Do you sense this same thing in the fellowship? Am I reading it right? And a lot of times he would say, yes, I'm sensing the same thing. See, that was that walking together, mentoring, that kind of like what the gentleman was talking about, that the anointing that he had somewhat kind of passes off to a point. We pass our anointing on to people, being careful with it, because we got to be careful. Whatever, remember what he said? Whatever tripped up that person would be the same thing that could trip you up. But it's one of those things we learn and we work with that anointing with that other leader. And then when that time comes for our retirement, we take off and we're still walking in that. But we have to be, believe it or not, we have to be keener than the one that we replaced in some of those areas of spirituality because of the sensitivity and where we're going with the things of this world and coming into the churches. But so I've done that with my God. I said, Lord, correct me. Lord, I give you permission to correct me and to teach me whatever it is, and I get out of line, you can, you know, I hope you don't have to spank me, but you can spank me, but speak to me to correct me, and I need to listen to you. And that's not just for the pastor. That's for all of us out here in this chairs. You need to get to that point to say, God, I give you. He will not take it without permission. He will not barge into your life and step on you, your toes, so to speak, I believe, unless you give him permission, because he's a gentleman. He doesn't go where he's not wanted. The Holy Spirit will not go where he's not wanted. God won't force himself, right? God never forced himself on me to receive Jesus Christ. I willingly took Jesus Christ. He didn't force the Holy Spirit on me. I willingly ask and wanted more of the Spirit. And so we have to turn to him and say, I am willing, God, for you to correct me to the nth degree, to what it is to stay true to you, to stay hot for you, to stay on track with you, to be able to share you with others around me so that they see you in me and not me in me. Because I'm going to tell you guys, me in me is yuck. I can get so far off in some crazy things or what I think in my mind of, oh, I would just love for that to happen, you know, that I got to back off of that and go with that what. What did he say in the word? Have the mind of Christ. He says in his word, renew your mind. And that's where it's all at. We got to get our minds renewed, our minds set on Christ, like that of Christ, to where when Christ and Jesus said, I don't say but what he tells me to say, I don't do but what I see my Father do. Jesus and God were like this. There was nothing that got past Jesus. And there's got to be that with us. We cannot allow anything to go past God through us, you know, by way of now the Holy Spirit, that we miss it. We've got to be tuned into him. We've got to be focused on him so that we don't miss him. Because I don't want to be out in the desert very long. I'll go out in the desert to learn. I'll go out in the desert to be a time to where it's like, okay, Lord, it's just you and me. But I don't want to be left out there for 40 years, you know. I want to be out there to learn and then get back into the fight. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, you know what? It's like five or so till, and let's talk about love. Well, at least we got the candle lit. Love. All this is being said in love, you know. Now, I think it's that thing with the birth of Christ and the season we're in, that there was much more, praise God for salvation that he brought into us, but he also brought this relationship into us to reconcile us back to God because God loved us. He sent the Holy Spirit because he loves us. The Lord wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed yourself. Many people give up. Many people say, it's too hard. I don't have the time. This isn't it. I thought it was this. I thought it was that. But God has success in every one of your lives. Amen. And so that's for us to hold on to. Hold on to that success. The destiny. We would call it destiny. You know, God's destiny. Where do you see yourself in God's destiny? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting up and you're breathing, you still got something to do. Okay? All of us. I always tell people, hey, if you're, I don't care, I tell people in retirement homes or apartments that are aged and all, if you're breathing, you still got something for God. You know? Be open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, as we allowed you, Lord, I do trust, Lord, that things I was going off were you, Lord, and my spirit, Lord, hearing your spirit and just some things taking place today. Your word is important. Scriptures are important to look at and to read. The message of today of love is important to hear, but Lord, it's more important to hear you because, Lord, your word in the Bible will always be there for us to read. But the timing of your spirit in the real and the now may never come again past this time. Could be one of those one-shot times, and if it's not welcomed, and he moves on. Or he'll come back next week, but we missed this week of what he had to share. I don't know how it all works, God. And so I pray and I trust that the things that were shared in the message, Lord, of Linda's bringing forth, and Lord, how we began to speak of things, I believe you speaking through me, were all that of you, Lord. The messages of yesterday are good and powerful, but we need messages for today. And I trust and I believe that today's message was the message for today. And Lord, I would stand before these people and I would think, like, if it was not for any of them, if it was for me, thank you for allowing them to sit here and listen to me. But if it was for them too, Lord, I would pray that they would lift their hearts and say, it was for me too. And I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are.